Hello and welcome to Sensitive Changemakers. I hope, and I know I say this every time, but it's so true. I hope that whenever you're listening to this, you are well and the week is a good one for you. I have really kind of been enjoying having more energy and doing more things. I'm definitely in a creative stage of my business where I've got lots of ideas, and it feels so lovely to have that because for quite a while back at the end of last year, it just wasn't happening for me. So, feeling super grateful for that, enjoying that experience. And it kind of flows on to what I want to talk about today. So I'm hoping this one's going to be quite a short, sweet one, one that you can kind of listen into, take some really important ideas away with you and try something new. So this is all about one technique that you can use to change your day. So if you find yourself, and there is absolutely no shame here, because I am that person, I definitely was that person, where you default to negative quite a lot, where you're quite cynical, where you're quite negative. This was definitely me for a long period of time. Definitely for most of my childhood, going into my 20s, I would argue even going into my early 30s. So I understand that need to be negative. And it's almost like a safety mechanism that if you look at the negative side of things, then you'll never be disappointed. You'll never be find yourself like unprepared for something. There is a real kind of benefit to being in that state. So if you are resonating with that, know that I'm there with you. I get you. I understand you completely. But I think if we want to grow, if we want to get closer to our big dreams and big goals, and if we want to do something new and different, if we want to feel different, say you are feeling really anxious or overwhelmed recently, and you want to feel more relaxed and you want to feel happier or more content, there are certain things that we can introduce that's going to help you to shift. And that's what I want to focus on today. Now, I'm going to introduce the idea first by kind of talking about the reasoning behind this, why it's so important to understand how our brains work, how we work as human beings, and then I'll go into the actual technique that we're going to discuss today in more detail. So there's a few things that come up for me. The first thing is understanding that the way that we see the world is unique to us. So, yes, we all live in the same world, but the way that we view it, our perspective on it is really unique. And it's like we're looking through a pair of glasses that only we can wear. So, nobody else can see that point of view but you. Nobody else can see that perspective but you. It's really unique. And this is why we feel different to other people in certain situations. It's why some people get lit up when they're skydiving, and for another person, it's their worst nightmare. It's based on the way that we see the world and what that world means to us. And this way that we see the world, our perspective, is very much created through genetics. There is a genetic component there, but it's also our environment. And the studies that keep coming out are showing that the environment is have or does have such a huge impact on every aspect of our lives, from like how we feel, how we see the world, but also health. There's just so much. So if you're interested in that, please do go and have a look. How we were brought up. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about the environment here. So, you know, the place that we live or grew up in, the people that we lived or grew up with, how we were brought up, ways and things that were normalized, situations that we experienced, all of these different things sort of shape who we are as we grow. And if you're highly sensitive, I feel that there's a deeper layer here. I feel there's an added layer of just feeling even further impacted by the environment because we feel so much, both internally and externally. It can really add an extra layer to that feeling of just depth and just a deeper understanding of what's going on around us. And what happens over time? So, our brain, in a very simple way, our brain takes all of this stimuli from the outside world and it works out what's important for us to know, what is in alignment with the current situation, the current present reality that we are facing. And it creates shortcuts because this is how our brain is really like super powerful. It creates these shortcuts in our brains so that if one situation presents itself, it has a shortcut to this is how they feel. So, for example, if you've got somebody who has a fear of spiders, let's say, for example, the trigger is they see the spider, the shortcut is fear. That sort of that scared feeling of, oh my God, there's a spider there is instant because that shortcut has been created. It's been embedded over time. Your brain has thought that was a really important thing for it to remember. And because it keeps happening over and over again, they've made a shortcut. But the beautiful thing about our brains is neuroplasticity, which is the idea that your brain can change, that you can actually create new shortcuts, that you can change the way that you see things. You can alter the way that you feel about your world. And those glasses, you can actually learn maybe to put those glasses down and pick up a new pair of glasses where you get to see different things that you didn't see before. Predominantly, this is done through creating habit. So if you think about the shortcuts that are already in your brain, they have been cemented over a long period of time because they were practiced over and over again. The exception to that rule is that normally if there was a huge amount of emotional charge with a particular event that was going on in your past, that one's kind of stored differently. And it kind of just kind of gets downloaded into your brain, into your body as a very real thing. And it's not something necessarily that needs to be repeated. But generally, when we are thinking about creating new shortcuts, changing the way we see the world, shifting our perspective, we are talking about creating new habits. And we're creating new habits with an emotional aspect to it. This is why you always hear people when they're talking about gratitude or feeling grateful, that you have to really feel into it. Otherwise, they're just words. So I hope that kind of makes sense there. The other thing that I think is really important when you're kind of creating new habits and you're wanting to make a change in how you see the world or how you feel about the world is making it part of your identity. And I know I've spoken about this before, but really deciding who you are and how this change fits into that person. So, an example, if I use anxiety here, instead of saying something like, I'm trying not to be anxious, or I really want to stop feeling anxious or worried, you're going to shift that into an identity of, I'm not an anxious person. And there's a shift there. And that impacts on not only the habits that you stick with, but also then as a consequence of that, the rewiring your brain and the shortcuts that then follow on as a result of that decision about an identity. And I want to go a little bit further into this idea of identity and also deciding, because that is the technique that I'm going to be talking about today, or the tool, shall I say. And I'm going to explain it through a game that I play with my daughter. We all play it with her, and I always lose. And it's called the yellow car game. Now, if you've ever heard of this game, I think the original idea of the game was that you punch somebody in the arm if you saw a yellow car. That's not the game we play with my daughter. We do a point system. So if she sees a yellow car, she goes, yellow car. And that's 1 point for her. If I see a yellow car, I say, yellow car. And that's a point for me. She always wins because she always sees them quicker than I do. But that is the game. And on a brain level, what is happening is our reticular activating system is switched on. And this is our RAS. It's a really, really amazing part of our brain. I mean, I love the way our brains work anyway. But the RAS is basically taking all of the million bits of external stimuli that you possibly cannot consciously process because it's too much information. It's taking all of that information and it decides what your brain gets to keep, what it deletes, or what it distorts. And if you put something into your brain and you tell your brain that you are looking for something new, i.e., a yellow car, your reticular activating system will start noticing it and say, there's a yellow car over there. There's a yellow car. And if you're my daughter, you do it do doubly quick. The other time that this often comes up that I use as an example, I remember when I was pregnant with both of my kids at different times, obviously. And I remember just seeing pregnant women everywhere. And it's the same thing because suddenly pregnancy and having a baby was incredibly important at that time in my reality, that's what was happening to me. It took up my time, it took up my thinking, it took up my actions and my behaviors. And so I started to notice other people who were going through something similar when I was walking out and about. That is the beauty of the reticular activating system. And you can actually guide it. You can actually decide what you want to see, what you want your brain to show you by creating a new habit, by telling it something new, just like I do with my daughter. You know, if I hadn't have told my brain, even though it's through a game, my brain doesn't know the difference. If I hadn't have told my brain, hey, we're looking for yellow cars today. So, you know, if you see any yellow cars, just let me know. If I hadn't have told that, the yellow cars would have zoomed by. I would not have picked them up. And if I would have kind of noticed them, it wouldn't have mattered to me. It wouldn't have kind of consciously made any kind of difference to my day. But suddenly it became important. It was a part of my day that meant that I got to spend some extra time with Sophie and that we got to have a little bit of mother and daughter time. And so suddenly that was a more important thing to introduce. So I hope that makes sense. What I would like you to really kind of take away with you today is I want you to have that in the morning. I want you to wake up each morning and decide what you will notice. And this could be things like I decided I will notice every time someone says thank you. I will notice when someone smiles at me. You've got loads of different ways. And I always think to start off with, if this is completely new to you, starting off with something really small can really help you to see how powerful it can be just through a small little change. And so that's why I mentioned here, you know, I will notice every time somebody says thank you. That's a really small thing, but how many times do we actually pause and notice that and accept that and say, you know, appreciate that? How many times do we notice when somebody smiles at you? And again, it's just those little things that really can help you to shift your day into another one, or a more positive one, should I say. The one that I use quite often with my family is we will decide what good things happen during that day. And I've made it purposely vague because we do it as a family. And so all of us notice very different things. But we have a jar on our dining room table and it just says good things 2024. And I've put paper and pens next to the jar. And every time something comes up that is good, that my kids or my husband see as good, they write down the date, what the actual situation or event was, they fold it up and they put it in the jar. And if we have, so one of my big things when I first got married to my husband, I had a very clear idea that I wanted us all to sit around a dining room table when we had dinner. That was a non-negotiable. So we do that every single day, apart from Fridays when it's pizza night and we do take the pizza into the living room. But generally, every evening we sit at the dining room table and we sometimes have, it's not every day, but most days we'll have a discussion about what was good that day. What happened today for you that was good? And if we feel that it's a really good one, we'll write it down on the slip and we'll put it in the jar. And the idea is that when it gets to New Year's Eve, we did it last year, and we noticed that actually we were really good at doing it at the start of the year, and then it kind of faded off as we got through to the summer into the winter. So our aim this year is to be a bit more consistent with it. But at New Year's Eve, we open up the jar, we all take a bit of paper, and we all kind of share a good thing that happened during that year. And we kind of just celebrate it while we're having some snacks and some food, etc., celebrating the last day of that year. And so I just want to kind of invite you don't have to do the good jar like we do, but to invite you to decide what you will notice each day. You get to decide that, and your brain will help you to start noticing that. And if you practice it more, it becomes a shortcut. Those shortcuts then become automatic. And then you will notice that actually over time, you are shifting, you are changing, you are seeing things differently. You may have even put on a different pair of glasses and you're seeing possibilities and opportunities that you didn't see before. And I would love, love, love to hear what you decide to do. See, not that was an intentional pun. And I would like to see or hear what you decide you are going to start seeing each day. So please do get in touch either through Instagram, email, Facebook, and let me know what you're deciding to notice each day. And I will be back next week. Have a lovely, beautiful week and take care. And I'll speak to you soon. Bye.